Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus and I welcome you to Herculean Physique. Before we converse with Ryan Foley, today's guest host, I'm going to give you an Olympian disclaimer. Aristotle suggested that entertaining new thoughts without feeling obliged to accept them is a wise practice to cultivate. We agree. Our Olympian podcasts explore interesting thoughts and viewpoints on a variety of topics, including health, religion, and politics. Our exploration gives voice to diverse personal opinions, areas of study, and systems of belief. Discussions in this forum, though sincere and enthusiastic, are not to be considered as Mount Olympus's endorsement of any particular point of view. With that being said, onwards to Ryan Foley. Greetings, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. I'll put together a more eloquent disclaimer for future shows, but that's the standard word I've been using.
I think what you listed there is absolutely fantastic, and it's good. I think that that's a big problem that we have been experiencing here within our entire nation is the ability to see the other side of the arguments whenever people are going through and you know they have their different belief structures. And that's one of the things that's always really fascinated me as a writer is being able to try to put myself into the mindset and the thought process, the point of view of the other person. So that way you can go through and you can see where they're coming from, because then it may be a thing where you don't necessarily agree with everything that they're saying, but you can understand why they feel the way that they feel. I think that's one of the most important things of a key motivation when it comes to creating memorable characters is to be able to put yourselves into the mindset of those different characters and seeing their particular point of view. And so I know there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of different views than I have, but I try to go through with that mentality of, trying to understand why they believe the way that they do.
I'm of the same mind. I actually, if I'm into something, I try to find books and articles and now internet videos that express the opposite or think that what I'm doing is not right or not correct, because I like challenging my beliefs. And, why should I get defensive about what I believe? My beliefs are what I formulate to navigate through life. And they may not be true. So it's better to be exposed to different perspectives. And also, as you said, we're in a nation now that's very polarized where people hold a lot of extreme and diametrically opposed beliefs. And if you want to communicate with humanity, you need to know what humanity is thinking and why. So it's a good idea to have these things out in open and friendly discussion.
Absolutely. And I think that's we'll get to it as we continue to go through our discussions, some of the good things and the bad things about that we are experiencing in social media. And so I think a lot of times there's a lot of conversations that need to be extremely nuanced. And so therefore it's difficult to go through and get your point across in a fairly limited number of characters that you're allowed to use on a platform such as Twitter. And so it's, again, that nuance, that back and forth conversation that we're not quite able to have so much as a people. I think it's kind of one of the things that's starting to drag us down. But then also it's one of those things where it is almost the algorithm has become something of something almost like a monster straight out of Greek myth, where it has changed, it has mutated, and where it started out with this wonderful idea, this wonderful concept. And so this algorithm begins to learn, and it knows that I like, Batman and Captain America and lifting weights and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so it's going to go through and it wants to feed me that information based on what I like. So that custom-built algorithm. It's an absolutely fantastic thing, but then we've seen the dangers of how that can, once you begin to get fed into that, and once you begin to get, into that echo chamber, then it becomes very difficult to hear people from other different point of views. And so that's where They've talked to people that have gone too deep, far down into those rabbit holes. And so, and they were convinced, you know, just flat out convinced that the earth was flat. And so they believe it because they just keep getting this reinforcement of all this quite frankly, wrong information. But it's a thing where once you get caught in that, you have to be smart enough to see when you're going too far down that rabbit hole so you can escape properly.
Very, very, very true. And we live in what somebody called a post-fact era, you know, where before you cite facts and cite the sources for where you got your facts so that people knew they were reliable. Now it seems that beliefs have replaced facts in strengthening arguments.
Well, so the two points that I would bring up with that is if you go back to the very first episode of the Colbert Report, and so I can't even remember what year that was, but I mean, it's been a hot minute since that show was even on the air. Yeah, and so in the first episode of that, Stephen Colbert coined the phrase truthiness, and truthiness is a gut feeling that you have where you hear something and you believe it to be true, but just because it feels right. And so, you know, facts, that's not as important, but it feels right down in your stomach. And then also years ago, I read an absolutely fantastic book by the author Terry Goodkind, and it was the Sword of Truth saga that he wrote. And the first book of that saga was called Wizard's First Rule. And what Wizard's First Rule states is that people are stupid and that they will believe something if A, they want it to be true, or B, they are afraid it is true. So if I were to come to my friend and say, hey, your girlfriend is cheating on you, he might believe that because, I don't know, he wants the dumper. And so he's like, well, hey, this is the catalyst that I need in order to go ahead and do that. Or he's deeply in love with her and he's afraid that it is true. And so I think we've seen that play out in a variety of scenarios, you know, especially with things like, just this era that we're living in at both of misinformation and disinformation. So we're seeing that play out where people will believe something because they want it to be true.
That's what I see also. And as you pointed out, navigating this is going to be challenging, but unless we want to make a bigger divide, we need to find ways of communicating honestly and openly and listening to each other. And the polarization extends to knowledge as well. Like I because of this quest that we're on for optimal fitness, optimal wellness, a Herculean physique, we're exposed to a lot of information. And the information is very contradictory. And each side has doctors who went to medical school and have written papers and are considered to be legitimate doctors. But they're advocating things that are diametrically opposed to each other. So something, for instance, as easy as how much protein should somebody who's interested in bodybuilding consume to build muscle. I've seen so many different arguments about that. And they can't all be true because they not only contradict each other, but they demonize each other. So it's very difficult.
And so in that same vein, boy, what that does is that leads in quite well into the topic that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. And so whenever you were going through and posting that you and I were going to be speaking, I went through and kind of created the most clickbaity, title that I could think of, so it's, again, the absolute best exercise to build a monster chest and the biggest arms,
yes,
and so to do all this, it's all this clickbait. And so because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to click on that link so that way they can get some eyeballs. And so, so just before we get started, I just wanted to go through and explain my history and what you were mentioning as far as, yes, because you'll have, this certain camp that's going to say this, you're going to have this certain camp that's going to say that. Quite frankly, I was trying to think of a decent metaphor to explain my experience when it comes to bodybuilding. And the best thing that I could come up with is, so first of all, I am not a doctor. I am not a professional trainer. So everything that I've come through has come through my own personal experiences. It's come through my own study, my own hard work. And so I was thinking, well, what would be a good metaphor? And I think the difference is that I'm not a second lieutenant that is straight out of college and has joined the military in an officer position because of his college degree. To me, I feel more like I'm the grizzled sergeant who has learned by doing for the last 8 years. And so I may not know all of the specific medical terminology. I may not be able to, you know, list, you know, all the ins and outs of why things work. I can just tell you, hey, this is what I've done, and this is why I feel like it has worked for me. And so I think what a lot of people, there's a certain misconception, and it's like this for anything, but I think it's particularly relevant when it comes to bodybuilding, is it's a tremendously misunderstood sport from people who are on the outside looking in. Because whenever I say the term bodybuilder, everyone immediately goes to that image in their mind that they have of these guys with the giant 7-foot shoulders, you know, that shrink down to a 4-inch pair of bikini briefs, and they're slathered with, you know, baby oil, and they're standing and posing. And so that's not, that is the very top level echelon of what bodybuilding is, but not everyone who practices that's probably the right word. Everyone that participates in bodybuilding is not necessarily doing it for the sake of wanting to stand up on a stage and, you know, and perform a pose routine. So what bodybuilding is, it is an equal development of all your muscles and all your musculature. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop muscle symmetry. Now, as far as when it comes to being a professional bodybuilder, the reason why they want that symmetry is because it is more aesthetically pleasing. And so the modern day meme that would get thrown around, or that pop culture term that gets thrown around, is, you know, you can't skip leg day, because you see, you know, the image of the gym bros that are in there. And so they have these tremendously developed upper bodies with, you know, a big chest and big arms, but they have these little tiny chicken legs because they're not doing squats. They're not doing deadlifts, because they're just looking to build those sexy muscles that will attract females. And then I can wear, you know, big baggy, you know, pants so they can hide their legs. But so really what you're trying to look for is an overall symmetry of your muscles. So one, it is aesthetically pleasing in order to have this muscle symmetry. But then at the same time, the reason why you want to have that muscle symmetry is because you don't want one part of your body to be tremendously overdeveloped, and then another, and then the counterpart to that muscle group to be underdeveloped. Because by going through and doing that, what you're making yourself more prone to injury. I'm sorry, let me mute here for just a second.
Okay.
I'm terribly sorry. I've been tremendously congested. I've been muting so I can cough to get rid of the stuff.
I've been doing the same. Yeah, I've been pretty congested myself.
Good. I'm glad it's not just me. But so you're going through it. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop your body in so that way to prevent injury. So one of the things that has fascinated me in this experience that I've gone through, these travels that I've gone through, and this study that I've done, is I'm amazed by the universal truths, where you have all of these different cultures who had originally very little contact with one another, yet they were able to come along and find certain philosophical beliefs that, you know, that are not connected with one another, but they've come to the same conclusion. And if you think about, I mean, almost every civilization has some form of martial arts. Now, obviously, they're all going to be very different. They're going to have different flavors depending upon, you know, the type of culture and the resources that they have available. But it's like everyone has this form of martial arts. And so the thing that I think bodybuilding is the singular best sport, and I say that because to go through and to perform bodybuilding by doing resistance training, which is a fancy way of saying lifting weights, it is beneficial for all other sports. And no other sport can make that claim. But no matter if you play football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, it doesn't matter. Every other sport that you do can be improved by going through and lifting weights. And I do think that lifting weights, in order to make yourself symmetrical, it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you less prone to injury. And so I've believed this for a really long time. And in the span since I have talked to you last, I'm always trying to go through and find, you know, new things to talk about, you know, in order to keep things interesting. And so I like it when I find something out there in the world, whether it's a thing where I found it or it's found me. Either way, I like to find something that kind of reinforces my point of view. And so I was watching Hard Knocks on HBO. Hard Knocks is a special that they run a few weeks before the start of the NFL season. I won't say I'm a huge NFL fan. I am, but I don't live and die by it like I used to whenever I was in college. But I still like to keep up with it. So Hard Knocks, it's a look inside the training camp, and this year they focused on the Detroit Lions. So when they first announced it, I was like, Detroit? Oh, come on! You know, why would I want to watch the Detroit Lions? But they did the impossible. They made me care about the Detroit Lions because this season it was so good and so compelling. And so mainly was revolving around their head coach, who is a fantastic guy named Dan Campbell. Whenever you go into to see this, you get to see the training that they go through. And so they happen to take a film crew and they followed one of the players that plays for the Detroit Lions. He's a guy by the name of Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's the best NFL name in the history of NFL names. I mean, it's not since that television show on Netflix, The Get Down, there was a character by the name of Shaolin Fantastic. And I said, that is the best name in the history of names. You will never get better than that. And so Amon-Ra St. Brown might be, you know, one of the better names. And so I've listened for him in like the – now, when they're doing the highlights and stuff of the Detroit games. Well, so as they're explaining, so they're showing Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's got a brother that also plays in the NFL, and they're training with his father. Well, his father is a gentleman by the name of John Brown, and John Brown is a former two-time Mr. Universe, and he's a three-time Mr. World. And so if you go through and you do a Google search for John Brown, bodybuilder, you can see why he was chosen. Yeah, you can see why he won, because he looks like he's chiseled out of stone. And so here is this older individual, and he's training his sons. And so, again, his sons look tremendous, even though, you know, they're wide receivers. So they're built for speed, but they're also tremendously muscled. And so one of the things – so Mr. Brown, he was commenting on the Achilles injury of Kevin Durant. And so he, you know, he was throwing a little shade, you know, just a little bit. But, you know, he was asking not Kevin Durant, he was asking the cameras, you know, it's like, when was the last time did Kevin Durant train his calves? Because he was of this impression that, yeah, if you go through and you're developing yourself in a full rounded rotation where you're doing, you know, where you're training all of your muscles equally, what you're going to do is you're going to tremendously, it won't make you immune to injury, but you're going to become extremely better developed in order to prevent those injuries. And so what we're seeing in this, I mean, so now there's all sorts of data, as you said in the beginning, so you have to kind of be careful as far as where you're pulling your information from. But, you know, so when you've got these people that are going through and they're doing these tremendous, we're learning so much more about the human body and what it's physically capable of. And then even really to throw it back to the NFL, where we're seeing these kickers that are achieving, you know, kicks where they're making 60-yard field goals, which would have been unheard of a couple of decades ago. It's like no one attempts a 60-yard field goal, and nowadays they're lining up and kicking, you know, 50-yard field goals like it's, yeah, okay, it's just another day at the office.
Uh-huh.
And so they go through and they do these studies, you know, where, you know, why is exercising so important? Why are they going through and focusing on this so much? And so one of the things that they were talking about is that how exercise, it is a form of healing, you know? So you go through and you're doing these exercises. And so, I mean, whenever they go through and a professional athlete, if they go through and they injure their knee, then they're going to go through and they're going to rehab that knee. Well, they don't rehab it by sitting around and doing nothing. They do it by, you know, training that muscle again and getting it built back up. And so one of the things that they talk about, one of the great fears as people get older is sarcopenia. And sarcopenia is basically flesh loss. And so you think about these older people, you know, and their muscles, it deteriorates over time. So, you know, you lose your strength, you lose your power. And so then suddenly you don't have the strength to do all of what you need to do. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you start spiraling downward. This is not caused, you know, by injury or the joints wearing out. It's just, you know, where they're less active. And so you think about how it's strength loss, and that's going to make you less active. As it makes you less active, it's going to make you less fit. And that's where you have to start thinking of it more along the lines of not just our lifespan, but our health span. And so by going through and developing our muscles properly, you know, we're going to go through and we're going to be more active. We're going to be more fit because we're not seeing that downward spiral. And so I know you're a little bit older than me.
Yep.
And so there are times where I, you know, I get up in the morning and it's usually right there in the morning. Where, you know, I've gotten out of bed for the first time because I got to go to the bathroom. And so I do feel like I'm walking around just a little bit like an old man, you know, where it's like, okay, you know, it's just everything's a little stiff. And even right now, because of the regiment that I've been on for the last couple of weeks, yeah, things hurt on me. Not injured, but just hurt. Everything's sore, you know, my shoulders are achy, all this sort of stuff. But they're achy because I've been going through it. I've been putting myself through a pretty vigorous routine for the last couple of weeks, and it's slowly been catching up with me, and I've got to, you know, train my body how to get to this new level. And so I was just curious if you could speak to, I know we have this, if we can take it just a little bit sci-fi for
okay.
Just a little bit. So we have the way I like to think of our lives is a highway. And so then you can go through, and there's all these different off ramps that you can take, and that's going to go through, and it's going to, you know, that's going to dictate your life path. And so like the big tent poles are, you know, like, I'm going to go to this college, or, you know, I'm going to get married to this girl, or we aren't going to have kids, because those decisions that you make, it causes a fork in your timeline. And so it's hard to see where our lives could have ended up if we had gone on a different road. And so I think about this version of me that back, you know, 8 years ago didn't make the decision to go through and begin, you know, starting on this fitness program. And where would my health be? Where would my condition be? And so it's a little bit difficult to, you know, accurately predict what that's going to be. But now I feel like, so Schwarzenegger talked about how bodybuilding is rolling back the clock. It makes you younger. It makes you feel younger because you're going through and you're developing your muscles properly. So with the exception of when I'm first getting out of bed and I have to kind of, you know, do that shuffle step, you know, just to get everything going. But then once I do, then I feel fantastic. And so I feel like I don't move like an old person, you know, and there are sometimes where I've seen some of the older people and, you know, it's, I'll tell my daughter, boy, I don't want to get old. And it's not the fact that I don't want to get old. It's that I don't want to get unhealthy. I don't want to get to the point where I have difficulty, you know, ambulating around. So with you being just a little bit older than me, how do you feel that your training has improved your life, especially here? Because I know you're still training. How has that improved your life, or how do you feel it does for your mobility?
Well, I am in my 60s now, so I'm not as mobile as I once was, just like I was. I'm no longer as strong as I once was. But I do work out daily, I aim for. And most weeks, I do 7 days. You know, occasionally I'll do five or six because other things have come up, but I aim for seven all the time. And I feel it keeps me focused. It keeps me young. It's a challenge that I can meet every day. And I like varying my routines. I like experimenting with things. So it's never a chore to work out. If it starts seeming like it's going to be a chore, then I just switch routines and do something totally different and make my body interested in being challenged anew. Because I'm in my 60s and there's more life behind me than there is before me, one of the things that I have had to do is I've had to really look at my life and see what is really important for me and what isn't important for me. And I break it down into various categories, and then I try to eliminate all the things that are not very important to me and stop doing them and start focusing more on what is important to me. And physically, it's been the same physique since I was a kid, which is the classic bodybuilding physique, which emulated and built upon the ancient Greek statues. And it was encapsulated, embodied, and expressed perfectly during the peplum era. So I have things all over where I do my work. My working out and my radio shows are in the same room, which is also our bedroom. So I have pictures all over the place of Hercules from the movies, from art, from statuary, anything that would inspire me so that wherever I'm looking, I get this reinforced. And I also, like right now, my biggest challenge to my health is my type 2 diabetes. And that can kill you. And, it poisons you slowly. So that's my Hydra. And every day I have representations of a Hydra in various points in the house to remind me that, again, it's dieting, eating right is not an inconvenience. But I'm fighting for my life here. So I want to remain healthy all my days. I don't want to go blind. I don't want to lose my my legs or arms. You know, I don't want to get dementia. So I have to work, very powerfully to keep those things at bay and to reduce as much as possible the effects of the type 2 diabetes and all the complications that is ensued. Like I found out recently that the medication my doctor put me on, which is a common medication, causes B12 deficiency. And I have peripheral neuropathy. B12 deficiency is one of the causes for peripheral neuropathy. So the medication, may have contributed to this. So now I'm putting myself on a vitamin regimen. And again, I'm not a dietitian. I don't know more about vitamins than anyone else, but I've been reading about them. So to see what happens, they say you could reverse it in 4 to 6 months or sometimes as long as a year, depending how bad it is. So I know I have a year to reverse this. I'm going to aim for the 4 months, but give it a year and I'll try the vitamin B. I'll learn more about this in the process. And again, it may work, it may not work, but it's my responsibility. My health is my responsibility. And if I don't want to be disabled or, unable to ambulate, I need to work on that every day. I do balance exercises every day because my balance is not what it once was. So I have a plastic step thing with two steps. I have a chair. I get up and sit down, get up and sit down. I have one of those boards that has like a half wheel on the bottom so you can rock it back and forth.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I have other equipment too, just for my balance. So I do balance exercises. I do like a full physical therapy routine because I learn them in physical therapy a couple of times a week. And then the other days I just pick one or two of the exercises and I do it. So the bodybuilding, the classical bodybuilding is the one thing that I want to do in that particular sphere of my life more than anything else, you know, more than any other sport. I tried when I had my TV show to get into professional wrestling, and I had a manager like starting with me, Dangerous Johnny Diamond, and we had a whole backstory and the whole thing. That unfortunately didn't happen, and now I'm in no condition to make it happen. But it was fun going down that road, and I'm babbling, I realize. But
No, not at all. You mentioned, I will butcher that pronunciation if you were to try to get me to say it again. So tell me again, what is the condition that was caused that's caused by the vitamin deficiency?
It may be caused by vitamin deficiency because people who take the medication usually get deficient in that vitamin. And again, I'm not a doctor. It was peripheral neuropathy.
And so what is that exactly?
It's a different sensation in your extremities. So, you know, it's your hands, your arms, your legs, your feet. It could be your eyes. Most people describe it as numbness, but it's not really numbness because sometimes it's hypersensitivity, at least in my body. So sometimes walking on the floor feels painful. It feels like the molecules are attacking my foot. You know, that's how sensitive it feels. Like I can step on a feather and it'll feel like I stepped on a crowbar. And other times it feels the same to me, but other times like I might cut myself and not know that I cut myself on my foot if I'm walking barefoot. So you got to check your feet all the time because otherwise you can get infections and you can get gangrene. But initially, when I first got it around a decade ago, it felt like wearing gloves and socks made of boiling water. So that passed, fortunately. Again, I exercised. I tried different things. And they told me that I couldn't reverse it early on. I kept it constrained to my feet and my hands for the most part. Now it started attacking my eyes recently, but it hasn't spread, which I'm told is unusual. That, you know, usually it would pretty much take over more in your body, but because I exercise, I believe, and because I try to eat right, I've kept it confined to where it was when it started. And now if the B vitamin thing worked, hopefully I could reduce it even more, contain it even more.
And so again, you know, first and foremost, I mean, my goodness, my heart goes out to you. And I hope that everything that you're going through, I hope you continue to get better. You know, I mean, certainly I did not know that. And, you know, to me, you seem a tad invincible. And so to hear what you're going through, I'm having difficulty articulating it, you know, you do seem like one of those big, larger than life, you know, naturally bulletproof type people. And, so to hear this, I'm taken just a little bit aback by it, but this is where I have to go back to this mentality of, you know, I'm curious where you would be without the, you know, without the training, without the developing your muscles. I mean, would this be something that would leave you, you know, just absolutely waylaid and to where there's no way that you could beat it? But because you have this, you know, this training that you've done and the proper mindset, you know, I have to think that certainly has something to do with it. I would think that there would be a lot of doctors that would look at you and go, yeah, this would knock, you know, anyone else on their ass, but you seem to be, you know, it sounds like, you know, you're handling it and working towards it. And so that's where I've got a quote that I've got saved. It's from Socrates, and Socrates said, no man has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. And I've always held that, you know, quote to be, you know, it's close to my heart, because I think that's the, I mean, this, and this is not, I have to put this very delicately. I'm as straight as the day is long, but there is just something about the physical power in the superheroes, the Herculean statues, like you're talking about, the professional wrestlers, the professional athletes. There is just something I find tremendously satisfying about the power of a male, the male physical form, and the females as well. I mean, I admire the female form, but for very different reasons. But I admire just the strength and the power that we're able of creating. And so whenever I first started on this journey, you know, I knew that working out would help improve me physically, because that's simple. But what I began to develop was this strategy, or this philosophy of my own, where it's going through, I believe that bodybuilding improves you both physically, because you're going through and you're lifting the weights. It improves you mentally, because you're going through and you're doing research, and you are becoming a scientist, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who, you know, if I do this amount of training, it's going to get me this result. So you're trying to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. You're studying, you're analyzing. So that's helping you mentally, because you're using your brain. One of the biggest things that they don't mention is that how this improves you emotionally, because whenever I go through and I go into the gym, man, that's it. That's my hour. That's my hour and a half, where I turn off all the notifications. You know, I silence my phone. That is where it's just me. It's me versus the weight, and the weight doesn't care. You know, so it's whether I'm successful or not, it's all up to me. There's no yes men. There's no problems at work. There's no problems at home. There's no problems with, you know, my kids. There's no problem with women. It's just me. It's me and the weight. And so it is a very calming and centering effect, where now I can go through and I can take on the day because I've taken on this weight. And then the fourth pillar is socially. It's probably one of the thinner pillars whenever it comes to the other three, but you know, but you have to learn how to navigate the gym, you know, how to and navigate around your fellow gym goers, things like that. So I think it does help you socially. And so, but the thing that just absolutely floored me, one of the things that I found in this last month. So in 2010, the CDC reported on over 50 studies that showed that it equated physical activity, or PE, it led to improved classroom performance and standardized test scores amongst their students. It improved class behavior, concentration, and attention span. So, you know, getting up, getting active, and moving about, it actually goes through and improves your mind. Now, the small town that I'm from, it's a little town in northeastern Oklahoma called Adair. And Adair is nationally recognized because of its schools, because of the performance of the kids in the school. And so that is certainly something to be proud of. I'm not, you know, trying to knock that in any way, but we had a teacher when I was going to school there. And now granted, I graduated in 93, so it's been a hot minute since I've been in Adair, but it's pretty exciting that, you know, my kids went to the same high school that I did, and they can go back and they can see my picture on the, you know, the graduation wall. And so we had an absolutely fantastic teacher. And unfortunately he butted heads with the administration, because he flat out asked them one time. He said, "Do you want me to teach to the test, or do you want me to teach so that they'll know these things?" And the administration basically told him, "We want you to teach to the test." And he wanted to teach us so the fact that we would know it more than beyond just the simple test. And so I think whatever you go through, and so I think that PE and personally, I think bodybuilding should be taught in schools. I think it should be part of the curriculum in high schools, because we've shown that it improves, the kids with their test scores and their attention, all that. So, and this is the CDC, 50 different studies all saying, yep, PE is good for the kids. Go out, let them burn it off, and then let them come back in and, you know, and get to learning. But unfortunately, PE is not something that can get credited as a class that you can go through and score. You know, well, oh, well, did he score a 70 or did he score an 80? You can't do that in PE, so therefore it's not as valued as the rest of the core curriculum on standardized tests. And so I think that's kind of one of the things that we've fallen short on. But it, clearly here is something that where with you dealing with all the stuff that you've been dealing with, but yet you've been doing it through this method of lifting weights to go through and improve your life. And I know that there'd be some doctors that say, ah, come on, what are you talking about? But I do think that there's got to be something to that.
I definitely believe there's something to it. I wrote something. It's not exactly what you're asking, but it'll answer a little bit of it. Do you want to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Facing Yet Us on Getting Older. Although the tale does not survive, Hercules' encounter with Yet Us, known to us as old age, is preserved on ancient pottery. Yet Us was said to be a child of Erebus and Nyx, or sometimes the issue of primordial night alone. As can be expected, in some depictions, our heroes engaged in staving off or actively fighting old age. The shriveled and diminutive Yet Us doesn't seem to stand a chance. In other depictions, the encounter between Hercules and Yet Us seems remarkably free of conflict, almost friendly. How do we reconcile these contradictory images? Perhaps to different points in a greater tale. Perhaps they depict different incidents altogether. Alas, we may never know. Now that I'm in my late 50s, so this was written when I was in my late 50s, with at least half of my life behind me, I would like to venture a guess. At my age, the impulse to mitigate the effects of aging, which can no longer be ignored, is quite strong. Exercise, supplementation, diet are recruited, and a variety of cosmetic, emotional, mental, and spiritual techniques are gradually added to our arsenal of weapons until Yet Us is kept at bay. Some fight harder with drugs, surgery, and fringe or cutting-edge science. Though this struggle, acceptance eventually emerges, and with it, peace. Embracing Yet Us, old age, and facing the finality of all mortal life allows you to appreciate the preciousness of each and every passing moment. When I personally found myself there, I made a promise. Until I die, I resolve to fully live. So those are my thoughts on it, and they really haven't changed that much.
Personally, I think that's fantastic. I think it is it's motivating. It's romantic. It's I think you've got to – I go back to the article that I was reading where they were talking about how humanity – we are far outliving our ability to go through and have kids. So we're living long past. So if we're only here to go through and continue to further the species, then once we're no longer able to create kids, we should just die off and move on. That would be, you know, like the more orderly, you know, way. But yet we're living well past our ability to reproduce. And so, again, it goes back to the health, our health span, as opposed to our lifespan. It's not so much for me. I think now being 47 years old, you know, for me, it's not the fact that I'm afraid of getting old doesn't really scare me, but growing weaker and becoming frail, that's what terrifies me. And so that's one of the things where I've often said, I just don't want to be a burden to my kids, you know? And so I think going through, you know, trying to be as healthy as I can. So that way, you know, I can still move around. It's funny. I've talked in the past, but it bears repeating here is that, you know, you have to go through and you have to find your why. You have to find why you want to do something. And I've found that once you've found that your why is bigger than yourself, you find the ability to go through and dig a little deeper, get a few extra reps that maybe you wouldn't have because you're doing it for someone else. And so my daughter is my youngest. So I have three kids. I have two boys, and my daughter is the youngest. And so I, you know, whenever I started on this journey back in 2014, you know, I said, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I want to be able to walk my little girl down the aisle, and I want to be in, I want to look sharp in my tuxedo when I do it. You know, I want to be able to do it without wheezing. You know, I want to be able to do it, you know, without the aid of a rascal scooter, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, I wanted to go through and just that way I could make sure that I was there properly for her. And so that has been a bit of my motivation, where it's more along the lines, not so much, I don't fear getting older, but I do fear my body breaking down, basically.
I could understand that. I could understand that a whole lot.
And so, I just noticed the time. And so again, we've lured them in. We've lured them in with the clickbaity title. And now we went off on a little bit of a different tangent. And people are like, wait a minute.
They got something more. This was very deep and very philosophical.
This guy said he was going to give us the ultimate exercise in order to get all big and swole. And so we're living in this era. We're living in the era of information, which I absolutely love. But we're also living in an era of misinformation and, unfortunately, disinformation. And so one of the things I would promise to your listeners is that in the years that I've been coming on here and talking with you, nothing that I have ever said is false, but not all of it may prove to be true. And so that's my way of saying what has worked for me may not necessarily work for you. And
right.
So you often have to be very, very careful, because people, they're going to go through and they're going to make these outrageous claims on the internet. And I think that the most important thing is that you remember everyone is trying to sell you something. So, and so again, going back to Wizard's first rule, you know, we'll believe it because we want to believe it. So take this magic pill and then you can eat whatever you want. How many times have we seen that? And in this era of influencers, and especially these fitness influencers, which you have to be extremely careful with them, you know, but what they're looking for, they want eyeballs. They want attention. They want shares, you know, shares and likes and retweets. These are the new currency. And so they'll go through and they'll use things like clickbait titles to lure you in. And so even if they're not trying to sell you something directly, the more page traffic that they get, the more ad revenue they generate. And, you know, so they're going to, and so they're mindful of all of this. So they're going to go through and they're going to make these wild claims. And so we've all seen, you know, the listicles, and, you know, hey, here's a list of 10 exercises to torch belly fat, and number 6 will shock you. You know, so they're trying to get you in order to do this. And so the system works. If it didn't work, they would shift their strategies and they'd do something different. So they figured out how to get me, because they're going to go through and they're going to be like, hey, this is the shoulder routine that Chris Evans used to look like Captain America. Click here and figure out what it is. You know, read this article and look at all these ads, you know, on the side as you read it. So it's important for them for your listeners to realize, look, he didn't just do this to look like, you know, Captain America. It was a whole big thing. But so one of the things that I do like whenever they go through and, you know, whether it's Henry Cavill or Chris Hemsworth or all these other guys, you can legitimately say, hey, their bodies of work speak for themselves, because you can look at them and you can say, oh yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. But just because they're giving you part of the plan doesn't mean they're giving you all of the plan.
Right.
So, but again, these guys, I think that they're scientists. And so when Arnold Schwarzenegger says, do reps of 15 to 20, I'm going to do reps of 15 to 20. If Henry Cavill says, do fasted cardio, I'm going to do fasted cardio. If The Rock advocates slower lifting, then, you know, obviously he's a guy who knows. And so their body is their work of proof. So
right.
What prompted all this was, for me, I was doing this research into which is better, slow lifting or fast explosive lifting. And so, again, when we started this whole thing, I was like, oh, I was so happy that you mentioned all the stuff that you did, because I was like, I mean, we're mentioning a little bit faster than I wanted to in my list, but that's perfectly fine. But about how, so there's these people that are saying slow lifting is better. These people are saying fast explosive lifting is better. And so there's these two different camps and different people are trotting out their different numbers. And so I used the last couple of weeks to go through and do some tests for myself to which is better, you know, to go through and try to crank out as many reps as you can, as quickly as you can, or is it better to do slow lifting? And so so whenever you go through and you're lifting slower, you're keeping the muscle, it's what's called cut or time under tension. So you're lifting at a slower rate, so you're keeping those muscles under tension for a longer amount of time. But as a result, you're going to fatigue faster, and so you're not going to get the amount of reps that you might have gotten instead if you just jump through there and you start pounding those, you know, those reps out. But what I discovered is that in going through, and now they're saying that the fast reps are better mathematically. But then I had to go through and I had to start figuring out the risk and reward of these fast lifts. And so what I found is that whenever I was going through and really trying to crank out these bench presses for as quickly as I could sense that I was starting to get a little bit out of control. The other thing is that I'm a big advocate of the fact that we are lifting the weight. We are not slinging it. So I would much rather see people use proper form, surgical form, as opposed to straining and you know, having to do everything they can just to get the weight lifted. I'm a much bigger advocate of lesser weight and superior form than I am the heavy weights and where your form's a little bit sloppy. And so now I do understand the science behind it, where, you know, going through and doing things like I love working with the elastic bands, because then you can go through and you can crank out reps with those. It's because it's faster, but it's safer. So, I mean, you're not going to go slinging a band, or if you go sling a band across the gym, it's not that big a deal. But if you sling if you drop a 20-pound weight and you're throwing it over your shoulder, someone's getting hurt. So I think it's a safer way to go through and do that. So what is this awesome exercise where if you do this, you will get this one, you get this massive chest, or if you do this one exercise, man, your biceps are just going to be huge. So to answer my own clickbait question with an answer that is going to dissatisfy everyone, you know, listening, It's the fact that they're the one best exercise that you can use is no one single best exercise, because if you think about those muscles as stretches of yarn, you know, stretching across your chest, just by going through and stretching that yarn the same way every time, you're not going to get the same results. But if you attack it from a variety of different angles, using a variety of different techniques, you're going to develop a bigger, stronger chest, because what you're doing is, so it's, again, there's no perfect answer. There's no single perfect exercise. So the absolute best thing that you can do, which again, you alluded to here in the beginning, is the fact that there is no one, you don't want to do the same thing, because then it gets boring, it gets repetitive. And so you begin to experience this the diminishing returns. And so now I do think that there's a difference between having a certain mindset and a certain philosophy. So like, for instance, I love antagonistic sets. I like to go through, and every time that I do a bench press where I'm pushing the weight away from me, I like to counter that with an exercise where I'm pulling the weight towards me, say like with a seated cable row. And so by doing that, again, we're doing muscle symmetry. We're doing that good back and forth motion. We're making sure that each area is getting developed, you know, in the same amount. I know there are some people who like a push day and a pull day, but I like that antagonistic sets, because while my chest is resting, I can go through and I can do my back workout, and so that way I'm keeping my heart rate elevated. The more my heart rate is elevated and it stays above a certain level, I'm going through and I'm burning fat. So to me, that antagonistic sets, those are the building blocks that I build everything else around. This is not to say that I'm going to go through and throw out antagonistic sets. Whenever I say change up your workout, I'm not saying to throw out those core building blocks, But instead, hey, if you've done bench presses and you've been doing it with a barbell, so now go through and switch it up and do it with dumbbells, or maybe switch to a machine for a few weeks. But by going through and finding different ways to go through and stimulate those muscles with different exercises, that's what's going to go through. That's what's going to build you the best and complete chest. So by going through finding a variation in your routine, and then by going through and finding these variations in your routine, you're going to find other stuff that hopefully is going to get you excited. And you go, oh man, I've never thought about doing this kind of lift. Yeah, I can't wait to try that. And so then now you're excited to go to the gym and try to implement this new technique. And
right.
It's the same as everything. Whenever you first get started, you have to physically teach your body, hey, this is what I want you to do. And it's going to be awkward and clumsy and clunky at first. But then once your body starts to understand what you're trying to do, then you're going to start to see those gains start to show up. And I've been the type of person where it's success breeds a desire for more success. And so it's kind of one of those things, okay, now it's really hard in the beginning, but if I can continue to go through and improve and improve and improve, then it gives me a high that I'm feeling, you know, all day long. And so, so to answer the clickbait question, how do you bulk up now and make the ladies say, wow, it is a variety of, it's that variety of exercises that's going to do it. There is no one silver magic bullet. There's no magic pill. There's no way around that good, hard work.
Very well and powerfully said, and an excellent place to wrap up today's episode. How can people get in contact with you, Ryan? You have a couple of websites. I know the Phoenix Protocol is online. Your Fury and Strength is online. I don't know if you've done anything new since those two went up, but those are excellent resources.
Well, thank you very much. I think the best way is for them to get in contact with me is the way that you promote me on Facebook. That's where I'm the most active. I have stayed away from Twitter just because I feel it's a cesspool. I don't do Instagram. I don't do TikTok. If they're going to find me, it's going to be on Facebook. That's where I have the majority of my information. And it's a thing where I wish I could go back and revisit a lot of those websites. I wish I could go through and I could add more in, but I've been so busy with my publishing. There's only so many hours in the day, unfortunately. But yeah, finding me on Facebook, that's probably the absolute best way.
We have to have a conversation about writing too. I don't know if I told you, but I've been published in over 20 anthologies, paranormal and UFO anthologies, in the past couple of years. And one book that I contributed to on alien artifacts just came out, and now I'm working on another one that should be out in a few months. So it's I love the creative realm, and you're a master at that. So I'm looking forward to that conversation as well.
I look forward to that as well. And hopefully, so by the time that I talk to you in October, my second prose novel should be published. If everything goes well and I'm knocking on every piece of wood that I can find here, the sequel to The Shadow Blades is scheduled to be published on October 5th. And so if I can publish it on October 5th and make it available on that day, it will be exactly 1 year to the day that the first book was published. So the first book lends itself with a little bit of a cliffhanger, and I certainly didn't want to pull a George R. R. Martin. I wanted to keep my name, you know, out there. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to make you wait that long to figure out what happened to all the characters. So yeah, hopefully by the time I talk to you in October, my second book will be published.
When that happens, let's do a special on your first book and your second book. How's that?
That sounds fantastic to me.
Awesome. Ryan, thank you again so very much. I always enjoy our chats and look forward to our next one already. Congratulations on the publication of your upcoming book. And thanks for all the clickbaity material. It made me laugh.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir.
The robot voice tells me we have less than a minute. So thank you. Thanks, everybody tuned in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you'll check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you, sir.